This is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Another student from Baylor University has accused a school football player of sexual assault. Records obtained by the Waco Herald Tribune show the woman said she was assaulted early Sunday morning. She was seen by a sexual assault nurse examiner at a hospital the same day. The player has not been arrested. Baylor says it will cooperate with the Waco police investigation. The accusation comes as Baylor faces increasing criticism from students and alumni about its handling of sexual assault complaints. A lawsuit from the student who accused football player Tevin Elliott of sexual assault claims Baylor failed to investigate the incident, also that the university failed to offer counseling and other assistance as required by the federal Title IX law. Elliott was convicted in 2014 and sentenced to 20 years in prison. Baylor's currently studying ways to improve its response to sexual assault allegations. The Dallas-Fort Worth area added nearly 117,000 non-farm jobs in the last year. New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicate that's the third largest jobs gain of any metro area after the New York and L.A. metro areas. Economists say both Dallas and Austin continue to see job growth as tech companies invest and major corporations relocate. However, other parts of Texas are suffering from the effects of low oil prices. Odessa lost about 5,000 jobs over the last year. North Texas may be booming, but we're also in the midst of another boom, a rise in homelessness. The latest count shows the number of homeless people has increased 24% in Dallas and Collin counties since last year. The Dallas City Council earlier this week debated a plan to shut down a homeless encampment known as Tent City. Larry James attended that hearing. James heads City Square, a nonprofit fighting poverty and homelessness. He spoke with KERA's Rick Holter for our Friday conversation.
Larry James, welcome to the Friday conversation.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the big picture. What's behind this spike in the number of homeless people?
The growing divide between the haves and the have-nots drives some of it. The lack of services at a system-wide level in Texas and then in urban centers like Dallas. The release of folks who've been incarcerated for some time with no ability to get a job because of their legal problems, no ability to get housing. Frankly, the refusal of the state of Texas to expand Medicaid creates a crisis for families who don't have coverage. Lack of skills that are necessary for a changing economy. So we have a boom town here in terms of construction and technology and all the other financial services, all the other industries. There's a skills gap. You know, all the things that happen in life without a support system create an environment where homelessness can grow.
Your City Square offices are actually just around the corner from what's known as Tent City. About 300 people spend their nights there. The city wants to clear out Tent City by next month. Is that going to help or hurt those folks?
The interesting thing about Tent City is it is not so much an expression of the growth of homelessness as it is an expression of the sharpness of homeless people. And here's what I mean by that. The city put portable toilets and dumpsters under the bridges. And when they did that, those basic human needs attracted numbers of new people who had never been under the bridge before. Because one of the basic problems a person who's homeless faces every single day is, where do I go to the restroom? What do I eat? Where do I sit and rest? And how do I dispose of my refuse? This is a sort of a congregation of homeless now erupting around this basic human service.
There was a lot of criticism during the meeting of the fact that those good-intentioned services have drawn people to
And to be critical of providing the most basic of human services and meeting the most basic of human needs is a little short-sighted and is indicative, I think, of our problem. We need to find a way to provide those services to people, but not under bridges in tents.
Mike Rawlings rose to prominence in city government as Dallas's homeless czar. Now as mayor, he's trying to take this on, but part of what he's doing is pushing this clearing out Tent City. Does that surprise you?
No, because Tent City is not sustainable. It's really a public health disaster waiting to happen. It's not safe. So I certainly don't begrudge the mayor for trying to make this city safer and cleaner and more healthy for its residents. The mayor still cares.
What frustrates you most about this debate?
The one thing I would be frustrated by is anyone who uses condescending language to make their point. And there was a bit of that going on in city council.
You're involved in a project that's being built across the highway from downtown called the Cottages at Hickory Crossing. It's an innovative little village for the most chronically homeless folks. How's that shaping up?
I'm very excited about it because, as you know, it's designed to provide homes for 50 of the most expensive homeless persons to Dallas County, those who use Parkland the most, inpatient, outpatient, mental health services, inpatient, outpatient, EMS services, jail services. They average costing Dallas County over $40,000 a year each. Mm. We're providing in the cottages high-quality housing, security, concierge services that encourage people to do what they want to do to get their lives on the right path, the path they choose, mental health services 7 days a week for considerably less than $15,000 a person. So we're now identifying those 50 people, and we hope by before the end of May to have the move-in process well underway, and we'll have 50 people off the streets and in these really wonderful little homes.
But only 50 people.
Only 50 in this project. You know, one of the things we've got to face is we need to share this quote-unquote burden across the city. And also, we don't need to concentrate hundreds of these units. We need mixed-income neighborhoods. National experience and research shows definitively that mixed-income communities work better than any other kind.
But that is not traditionally how Dallas is done.
That is not how Dallas has looked at it. We're going to have to change the way we look at that, in my opinion.
Larry James, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Should be sunny the rest of the day with a high of 75 degrees. It's 58 now in Dallas and Fort Worth.